With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Your highly compensated brackets consultants are here.
Devontae Graham, big second half. Kansas hits 15 threes, and as the final horn sounds, the Kansas Jayhawks, for the 11th time, are Big 12 tournament champions.
This is a tournament week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by George McCoy, attorney with Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Been injured in an accident? George McCoy can help you get the compensation you deserve. Go to warrenallen.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Hour number two here on The Fan. CJ McCollum tweeting that Portland's got him feeling some kind of way right now with this weather because he loves the versatility. What up, CJ?
What's up, CJ?
Also, Evan Turner listens to sports radio.
Apparently,
that's confirmed, right?
Apparently, he's a fan of the show because
I don't know if he's a fan of our show. He's probably heard us and probably heard us talk about how we need to get rid of that contract.
That was a quick station change for Evan Turner. If he's heard any of our thoughts on his $17 million a year salary,
Evan Turner is a P12 of probably 1080 The Fan. Yeah. If we're being honest,
checks back in every now and then. Oh, they still hate me? All right, I'm out of here. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the Blazers a little later on coming up. And Richard Sherman is a San Francisco 49er, but it's a busy, busy day. Let's get to the NFL whip around.
Frozen Tundra.
And I haven't seen anything officially come down the pipeline yet. But at 1 o'clock, it was supposed to be announced the Dolphins were cutting Ndamukong Suh, who, by the way, shout out to him. He showed up to the Grant General's 6A state championship win over Jefferson over the weekend that Jason Swigard and Rashad Taylor
called. That was one of the best state championship games I've called in my tenure here. That was a great environment.
Congratulations to you, stepping up your skill, and good job to those kids. I'm glad that was one of the best calls of your life, buddy. You guys had a good call, though. I was listening, driving around a little bit.
Yeah, Rashad Taylor with me knows a lot of those guys. He works a lot with the PIO SCI students. Yeah. And we had a great time, and that was a great way to finish out the high school season.
So Sue was at the Child Center. But the Dolphins are supposedly going to cut him and linebacker Lawrence Timmons. They want a culture change in Miami, which
they don't want a culture change. Well, they want to save some money.
Well, they're calling it a culture change.
This has nothing to do with culture.
To which I would say, you were in the playoffs 2 years ago with that culture.
Your quarterback got hurt last year, and you still sniffed around. You decided to sign Jay Cutler. I hate when teams do that kind of stuff. This is no different than what Seattle has done. Did Seattle need a culture change when they got rid of Richard Sherman or traded Michael Bennett? No.
Well, Coward would say yes.
Oh, all right. They have no money. They need to have some flexibility. He's a $26.1 million cap hit next year. $26.1 million. Sue is a phenomenal defensive lineman. He's a stud. He's a PIO product. He's from the area, and I root for the guy. He never deserved a contract of that size and length, and it just took Miami a couple of years to figure out. It's just hard to get a ton of value with that amount of money tied into a defensive lineman. They clear course now. He's got his guaranteed money. They cut him, and he's going to be on the open market. This is not about culture. This is about saving $26 million next year.
What team, top of your head, Dirt, what team needs Ndamukong Suh the most?
Well, I mean, you're going to go down the line of teams that have some money to spend.
I don't know if they're committing a lot of money to this guy, man.
It's not going to be a Miami amount, but he is far and away the best. Value, I guess, maybe you could say Kirk Cousins because he's a quarterback. But in terms of the players you can get on the open market, to me, it's not even close. Sue's the best player you can go get as a free agent.
By the way, Sue was in Seattle this morning. Not that he's meeting with the Seahawks, but he was just in Seattle working out.
He's home. A team that jumps into my mind just because of the offseason they're having so far is Cleveland. They're throwing money at everybody. They're trading guys. They got two picks in the top four. They got $120 million in cap space.
Probably not as much now, but yeah.
Yeah, go throw a chunk of change at Sue. Get him for a couple of years. You hit on your quarterback. All of a sudden, that roster takes shape.
Well, I know New England's looking to try to keep Nate Solder, but Houston's going after him pretty strong because you want a left tackle. And he actually played the right tackle position in the Super Bowl. It went against Fletcher Cox. Did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
And if New England misses out on Solder, we know they need defensive lineup. I wonder if they would try to go get Ndamukong Suh, or maybe that's just going a little too far. I know I'm just throwing out the cliche New England Patriots, but
it feels like they always end up landing a guy like that.
They're in these conversations, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know his production has fallen off a little. He's 31. He's never totaled more than 6 sacks in a season since joining Miami.
But he's not a sack guy, though. He is right. Put a double team on me and let me open things up for other players, and hopefully you make a play here and there.
Yeah, he chews up a couple of offensive linemen, and if you have good pieces around him, they're a dynamic defensive line.
So we'll see. Miami set to make that announcement sometime here fairly soon. Let's go to Kansas City, where 12-year vet and defensive end Tom Bahali has been cut by the Chiefs. Ali has 9.4 million cap hit, so it's not surprising that they wanted some financial flexibility and to save some money. Ali, he sent out a message of thanks to Kansas City, but his time has come at an end.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as Andrew Brandt will say, it's cutting season for a lot of these teams, and they're figuring out ways. Kansas City is another one of those teams that's really strapped financially. Tom Bahali is up there in age now. Been around, 12 years in the NFL, every single one of them with Kansas City. It's tough when you see this kind of thing, because I think Kansas City fans would have loved to have seen him retire a Kansas City Chief, but only played 5 games last year, and these are the kind of moves that teams have to make if you don't have those kind of veteran minimum contracts that you have in the NBA.
All right, let's go to Dallas, where Swigard's Dallas Cowboys got a notice from their cornerback Orlando Scandrick this morning, who came out and requested his release from the Cowboys. He started all 11 games that he was able to play, and he wants out of Dallas, wants a new
I don't think anybody's going to be too broken up. They need to
his
reinvent.
His cap hit's tiny, by the way.
They need to reinvent that secondary and find some younger, faster guys more willing to make tackles. And Orlando was great for them, but they need... They drafted well last year at that position. Had some rookies out there go through the growing pains of the NFL. They got better as the season went on. I think they'll look to the draft again and see if they can find some more guys in the secondary, see if they can create a group together that's on that same arc.
He's already 31 years old,
Scandrick.
That's kind of crazy to me. I remember watching him at Boise State.
His wife is smoking hot. You ever seen her?
Yeah.
She's one of those reality stars. Let's go to Arizona. No surprise here. The Cards released Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
And they've also been tied in, by the way. They've been tied into, potentially, A.J. McCarron.
Ooh.
So we'll see.
That doesn't move the needle at all for me. Maybe it's unfair to A.J. McCarron.
We just don't know what he is. I know he had some starts. We just don't know what he is yet.
Yeah, and... I mean, you look at Adrian Peterson. He had, 2 good games when he came over. He had a couple of 100-yard games. Their win over San Francisco, their win over Tampa. Went for 134 and then 159 in those games. Outside of that, didn't make a ton of noise in their other games. But this is a smart move for Arizona. They don't need him with the rest of the running backs getting healthy next year. And Adrian Peterson will be a guy to watch. A value contract out there. I don't think he's going to command a ton of money. He's 32 now. The experiment did not work out in New Orleans. Obviously, they drafted well around him, and that was not something that they saw coming. But he was cut basically after 4 games and picked up by Arizona. I'd throw a little bit of money at him just to see what's left in the tank. 32-year-old running backs can scare you a little bit, but I said, Jonathan Stewart or Adrian Peterson, is that a big of a difference to me? I'd still rather take a shot at a guy like Adrian Peterson, maybe even against somebody like DeMarco Murray, who's up there in age.
Peterson had some really good games for the Cardinals last year.
I would take a shot at Peterson, and Seattle is the natural fit that comes into people's mind when you think about veteran running backs.
I saw we had a listener, Alex, text at 55305. Sue gave me a concussion in high school. His part of his contract should come my way.
Give me a slice of that money.
Such a big kid in high school.
Sue used to murder kids in the PIL.
Didn't you have? Did you miss him or did you play against him?
I just missed him.
Lucky dog.
Just missed him.
I'm just thinking. I know you're probably, maybe you're a little more built in high school lifting weights and stuff, but, or maybe you were even smaller just thinking about you against Ndamukong Suh.
He would have picked me up and thrown me through the goalpost, man.
I like Cam Cleland running at
that,
you.
Yeah, that was a terrifying sight. See a guy that big on a high school football field.
All right, and something worth monitoring. I'm not telling you to really look into this too much, but just keep an eye on it a little bit. Drew Brees and the Saints cannot come to an agreement.
Something fishy here.
On contract. Now, I know people are trying to temper emotions and say, oh, it's no big deal. But, you know, Mike Florio's kind of been all over this from Pro Football Talk of like, why aren't you getting a deal done then? What's the hang up? And how crazy would that be if Drew Brees suddenly is just gone from the Saints?
This would be wild. To me, there is something there. Now, does he end up leaving New Orleans? That's still to be determined. I'm glad you brought up Florio because he's had a lot of Saints fans attacking him the last couple of days, saying there's no chance in hell that this happens. But the easy retort is what Florio brought up and you just mentioned is, if this was such a foregone conclusion, why is there not a deal in place already? I never thought it would get to this point with him. They obviously can't franchise tag him because of all the expiring contract stuff that's going on, but the Saints should be a little worried at this point in the process. We're not too far gone, but if he's going to be a free agent, especially when Kirk Cousins signs, if somebody wants to throw a crazy amount of money at Drew Brees that New Orleans maybe can't match or is unwilling to match, the threat of losing him does exist. It's not done yet, but they should be concerned in New Orleans.
All right. And then finally, I just saw this on the text, but I put it in the notes. Yes, Raiders cornerback Sean Smith was cut from the Raiders. He has to serve a year in jail.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
Yeah. So Sean Smith, good luck, bud. Goodbye. And also Tyrod Taylor's a Cleveland Brown. That happened after we signed off on the show.
The Browns are very active.
Very active.
To the point, I believe it was yesterday or today, Schefter had a tweet, the Browns will not make a trade today. Breaking news.
Well, I thought them getting Tyrod was just concrete evidence they're drafting a quarterback.
Either at number one or number four. It depends on which guy that they want.
Hey, you can get Barkley now one. The odds are that you're going to have one of those quarterbacks remaining at four.
Oh, some. I mean, one of them will. One of the four. It just depends on, are there two of them that they've crossed off their list and they don't want? Two of them that they really want? It's to depend on what their draft board looks like and what grade they gave every player.
All right, there's our NFL whip around. We do it every Monday at 1 o'clock. Keep an eye on Kirk Cousins as well, who's set to make his decision this week. Richard Sherman is a San Francisco 49er now after coming to an agreement over the weekend. But did he choose San Francisco just because he gets to play the Seahawks? And people are killing him over not having an agent in negotiating this deal. That's next on The Fan. Join us again for the best basketball tournament party on the best 2 days of the tournament. Fan Madness happens Thursday starting at 9 a.m. at the Station Public House at 27th in Northeast Alberta. And Friday beginning at 9 a.m. at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill at 225 Southwest Broadway. We'll be out there. With our show, Primetime will be out there as well. We'll have fabulous prizes to give away. Fan Madness is brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling, O'Reilly Auto Parts, and the Nike Hoop Summit. More info at 1080thefan.com. Come join us and have a good time.
It's going to be awesome, man. We love those events. The games are going on. People have a great time. Can't wait. Come say hello.
So Richard Sherman's a 49er. Never thought I would say that. All of those incredible matchups they had back in the day when the 49ers were actually a respectable team, and they went back and forth, and the Crabtree post-game interview and the NFC title game, I just didn't think I would see this. But he reached an agreement with the Niners, 3 years, $39 million. And a lot of people making a big deal that he didn't have an agent for this, and this is a terrible contract because it is very team-friendly. A lot of incentives he needs to hit to get his money. Just to help you out here a little bit, if you haven't done any reading on it, let's say if he plays 90% of the snaps for San Francisco in 2018 and makes the Pro Bowl, he makes the same $11 million he was scheduled to make in Seattle this year.
Mm-hmm.
And his salary of $8 million for 2019 would be guaranteed if he's on the roster April 1st, 2019. Basically, Sherman can be $11 or $12 million a year player, but he has to play like vintage Richard
right.
Sherman.
He's got to get back to who he was. He's gambling on himself. And a couple angles on this. I've been bothered by the media members writing stuff about basically shilling for agents, saying this is why you need one, this is where you go wrong representing yourself. First off, I'm sure a lot of those writers have terrible contracts themselves and probably didn't read half of it. You just sign on the dotted line. But Richard Sherman, much like every other athlete, is very confident in himself, and he's willing to bet on himself. And the other part of that that bothers me is how many contracts like this do we see that agents sign, that agents draw up for their players? This is the norm in the NFL. There's not a lot of guaranteed money. There's a lot of guys, especially when you get to the age of 30, it's a prove it factor. Can you stay healthy? Can you get back to the guy that you were? And I don't think the contract would have been that much different whether he had an agent or not. He wanted to represent himself. He didn't want to give away 2 or 3% of his salary to an agent for drawing up this contract. So I applaud him for this, and I applaud him for having the confidence and the faith in himself to get back to being the player that he was. And if he stays healthy and he makes a Pro Bowl, let's not act like it's that much of a long shot to make a Pro Bowl. A lot of guys go to the Pro Bowl. A lot of guys back out. Injuries happen. There's all sorts of additions that take place. He's got a decent chance, if he stays healthy, to get back to making the $11 million. And I love that he's confident in himself that he can get there.
Yeah, so they're meeting with the Niners. He had a dinner with Kyle Shanahan, and then they met with John Lynch in a meeting with his fiance for a few hours. Richard Sherman said, he told Peter King, "I don't think any agent in the business could have done a better job of negotiating this contract. As long as I'm content with what I'm making, nothing else matters to me." And that's an eye-opening line, because you're right. So many people are writing today, "Dude, you should be having an agent. You got screwed." If he's happy with it, then who really cares?
This is the deal that he wants, and right. That's the deal he wants.
He could have met with other teams. The Lions had a lot of interest. I forget the other team, but there were two teams that had a lot of interest. But he didn't want to lose the Niners' interest, because they tried originally to get Aqib Talib in a trade.
Yeah.
They thought they had it done, and then Talib preferred to be released because he wanted to be coached under Wade Phillips or Bill Belichick. So, and that's where he's headed. He's headed to the Rams. So Richard Sherman didn't want to lose the 49ers. And, you know, there is a little part in here just to show you the agent. Like, in negotiations, he was talking about the Pro Bowl, and he said, "Well, okay, I can get this incentive if I do this and that." And it was on making the Pro Bowl to get money. And he goes, "Well, what if we're going to the Super Bowl?" And they were like, "You're right. That's not even in the language." And he was like, "Let's put that in the language. If we go to the Super Bowl and I'm a Pro Bowl player but can't go, I'm still getting that money." And they said, "Sure, absolutely."
Yeah, he fought for the things that he wanted in the deal.
He's betting on himself. I don't know why this is such a big deal for people.
We see this all the time in the league. If it works out for him, then it's great. And if it doesn't, it's going to be a low-risk move for San Francisco, and he's probably back on the open market next season. It's a perfect situation for both sides, because if it pans out, San Francisco has no problem paying him that same cap number. It's just a matter of you can't trust him. And let's not forget, like, to act like an agent could have got him a lot more or more guaranteed money. The guy's over 30 years old. He's coming off an Achilles injury, which are usually career-ending. Maybe Richard Sherman is the outlier there. And he had to have a surgery on his other Achilles as well. Like, this is not a guarantee in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think there's any team out there that would have been willing to pay him that much guaranteed.
Yeah, Sherman also said on why he chose the Niners, he said, quote, "Vengeful. I love the fan base to death in Seattle, and I loved playing there. It was such a great opportunity. I helped the organization get to a great place and stay there, but now it's like I abandoned them. People are out there burning my jersey. Come on. I'm not the one who let me go. They let me go. I didn't abandon anybody." And so, in part, he chose the Niners because he gets to play Seattle twice a season, to which I think some people laugh at, but this is who Richard Sherman is. He thrives off this kind of chip on the shoulder.
This is who he's been his entire career. Now it's just on the other side for Seattle fans, and it's going to be really awkward.
Who's it more weird for?
To get used to. To be honest with you, I think it's more weird for San Francisco in the short term. Niner fans hated Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
If you rooted, like, during the, because they were close, there was an NFC title game, that throw to Crabtree just short, he gets on the microphone, calls him mediocre, he ripped your heart out and then taunted you on national TV. This is like Draymond Green in 5 or 6 years coming to Portland and being a Blazer. It would be really weird for, like, whoa. Like, you're going to take it because he's a good player, but it's going to take a while to get used to it.
I think it'll be different. I think it is right now. I think, especially if the 49ers and Seahawks don't play opening week, if they play like week 4 for the first time and they get used to seeing Sherman in a 49ers uniform, then I think it'll flip. When it actually comes to the game, I think Seahawks fans are going to be all sorts of weirded out.
Yeah, by the time that you see him running out in another jersey. Because Niner fans will get used to it.
Well, here's two reactions here. Niner fan here, and I want to puke. Richard Sherman insulted the fan base, the organization, and disrespected our logo on Thanksgiving. He's a loudmouth, overrated penalty machine who constantly cries to the refs, I don't want this washed up POS on my team. To which the next text was from a Seahawks fan, I believe. Or maybe it was a Niner fan. Hope he sucks in San Fran. Arrogant D-bag. Not a team player. See ya, D-bag.
I think Niner fans, you can hate him all you want until he picks off Russell Wilson twice and gets you a win in Seattle. And he's doing it to their team.
By the way,
that'll change the
emotions. He wasn't alone on the Thanksgiving thing.
No, that was an NBC thing. They set up the table on the logo.
Well,
and
Russell Wilson was eating there, too.
Sat there, and they had a couple of drumsticks during their post-game celebration. I get the weird nature of this. And look, I do want to be fair to Seattle fan, because this any fan base would have a similar, like, oh, really, kind of reaction to this. If Lillard went to the Lakers or the Blazers cut him and he goes to play for your rival, like, that's going to be the reaction. The main thing you need to have in mind and you need to remember with this, he was cut. He didn't demand a trade. He didn't just flee at his first opportunity. He was cut. He had one more year on his deal. Seattle said, we're not going to pay you. They said, we want to bring you back if the offer is fair. Now, if you read the Peter King piece, Richard Sherman tells you when he got this deal in hand from San Francisco, 3 years, $37 million, whatever it is, which is not, it's a little misleading, but that's the deal if it all pans out for him. He called other teams, including Seattle, and said, here's my deal. I got this in paper from San Francisco. I want to come back and play for you. Can you match this offer? And they said, no, the incentives are too much. If you stay healthy, we're going to pay you $11 million again, and we can't simply afford that. And they said they decided to pass. Detroit decided to pass. Oakland decided to pass. He called a whole bunch of teams and said, can I get this offer somewhere else? And they all said no.
It's going to be weird to see him in a Niner uniform, but again, he's taking a chance on himself in San Francisco, who has a ton of cap space, taking a chance that maybe they can get Richard Sherman back. Even if it's just for a year, this deal was worth it.
It's worth it for the Niners, because if he gets hurt, you don't end up paying him hardly anything, and you're out of it after one season.
You're going to draft cornerbacks anyway.
If it works, and you got a great corner who's still, you know, finding the fountain of youth.
All right, let's get to the Blazers. They beat Golden State on Friday, extend their winning streak to an NBA high 9 games. Now they get Miami tonight, who is also not playing some of their best players. It's been a hell of a run for the Blazers, and they've greatly benefited. We'll talk to some little Blazers next. Evan Turner tells the fans to kiss his ass if they think he makes too much money. Both of those things next.
Hey, coming up in 10 minutes, how do you feel about Evan Turner telling a fan to shut the bleep up? I forgot about that one. After their during their blowout win against Sacramento, I should say. I'm going to get to that. Quick wrote a piece about it.
Called him a redneck.
He did. He called him a dumb redneck. Dumb redneck sitting behind him heckling him. He said, shut the bleep up. That was his response. We'll get to that in 10 minutes. Still need to talk some Tiger. We'll see if you guys have any hot takes on daylight savings time. That happened yesterday. We all lost an hour of our lives.
I do have a hot take on that.
Okay. See, I thought you would. So we'll talk about that at some point in the final hour of the show. And also, O.J. Simpson admits to murdering his ex-wife.
And why did Fox keep this from us for...
For some reason, it wasn't played for 12 years.
That's crazy.
But they played it last night, and we'll tell you what they had to say. I want to read a couple of quick thoughts here at the Fan Text Line about Seattle. And their situation with Richard Sherman, because it's kind of a strange one. Somebody said, as a Seahawks fan, good for him. People are stupid. 90% of Hawk fans are bandwagon. He got my childhood team its first ring. He's forever a Hawk. Another one, lifelong Seahawks fan here. I'm happy for Sherman because I believe he has at least still 3 years of productive secondary play left. Disappointed in the franchise because they released somebody that helped put Seattle on the map. Some good, some bad, but I owned a Sherman jersey. It would frame it in my house, and he'll receive cheers from me if I see him play against Seattle next season. I think it's good to read stuff like that, because when you have stories like this, it's always easy to focus on the one idiot that, like, there was a guy that burned his Sherman jersey and the video kind of went viral. And then he sent out a couple of tweets after that, basically saying, oh, the jersey was ripped anyway, so I was going to throw it away. Figured I'd burn it and see if anybody would talk about it. And then he had another tweet that was like an all caps saying, I'm on the news. It's like we gotta I just think it's important to put stuff in perspective. Like, it's not like every 12 is out there burning all of their Richard Sherman gear. The vast majority of them are decently level headed. We just like to focus on the idiots in situations like this.
I like that we gotta burn jerseys for guys
who were cut by the team.
He was cut by the team.
He didn't say, demand a trade, get me out of here. It was like,
and I'm fairly certain there were Blazer fans that burned LaMarcus Aldridge's jersey.
Were there?
I think there was a couple of those, like people tweeting pictures or putting it up.
No, it's for the reason what you just pointed out. What did that guy say? I'm on the news.
I'm on the news.
It's a really cool thing for people.
Yeah, people will talk about you.
It's like when you watch halftime of the Blazer games and you see these people on the concourse and all they do behind Jordan Kent or Michael Holton is wave their arms.
Yeah.
Dude, you're on TV. Yeah, like, no, is it that cool to you?
We see you. You don't need to wave.
We get it.
Your face is right there on my TV.
We get it. You DVR'd this moment. You're going to go back and...
Look at that. There we are. There we are.
I guess you're going to text this to some friends and talk about how cool it was that you were on TV for 10 seconds.
They think the camera's like a motion sensor, like light. Like if you don't wave, the camera won't pick your face up. You won't. No, you're on TV. We see you.
Yeah.
Don't need to wait.
No, I think most Seahawks fans, and there are some reasonable ones were texting in. I just think most are more just like, all right, thanks for everything you did. The vengeful thing, like, I know that can be misconstrued.
Yeah.
Dude, that's how he plays. That's who he is. I didn't particularly root for him a lot in Seattle, but the attitude, the swagger, everything about him was what made him thrive. It's a fifth-round draft pick, right? Some teams are going to miss. You get guys that slip in the draft all the time. It's very rare for a talent that plays at that level to get overlooked so greatly in an NFL draft to where when you come out in the fifth round, there's a reason that people were like, yeah, I don't really draft you. And he used that. He used that anger, that fuel, that, you know, all those football cliches to be who he is. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, most Seahawks fans are just, you know, the Niner fans or San Francisco is not ideal for them. But good luck to you, I guess.
It's totally fair to be bummed that he joined your division rival, and there's a chance now that San Francisco is better than you next year. It's going to be kind of a role reversal. Totally get the bummer factor there. And, hey, you want to root against him a couple of times next year, no doubt. Just remember where you were before Richard Sherman, what he helped you accomplish, and I thought he did a good job talking about that. I did enjoy this last text before we move on. He said, it makes sense Richard Sherman ended up in San Francisco. He's caught as many passes from their quarterbacks as other receivers over the last 4 years. Puts things into perspective. So, hey, Blazers on Friday night, we talked a lot about this. We were all amped up for it. Golden State was in town. No Steph Curry. And it was no problem for Portland. 125-108 the final. They ran away with it late. They were really in control throughout. I mean, they had a small kind of blip of the radar there in the third quarter where they let Golden State back into the game. They regained control. They scored 38 points in the fourth quarter, led by CJ McCollum, who had 30 on the night. Him and Lillard combined for 58 points. Pretty remarkable. Now they head into tonight after the weekend's festivities. With a little breathing room for the three seed. They got a two-game lead on both New Orleans, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City.
And I think we all called it. They hit the over.
That they did.
In that Golden State game, you're the only one that picked them to win as a one-point favorite. You know what I was impressed with? Getting to just the Blazers before we talk about the Western Conference. That was the best I've seen them play all year. I've seen some really good games, and they've had really good moments. The way they played against Golden State, That's Golden State. I know it's without Steph Curry, but that's still Golden State coming in there saying, we have to go for the one seed. Like, it was an opportunity that night, by the way, because Toronto beat Houston. And if they would have beat Portland, they would have gone up a half game in the one seed. So they had something to play for. And for Portland to come out and continue to play the way they've been playing in this streak, even without Steph Curry, especially in that fourth quarter, it was remarkable. It was really good help defense. I thought rotations were really crisp, and the ball movement for them on offense. Zach Collins, and I tweeted this on Friday, is Zach Collins might not be this all-star player, or maybe he will be, who knows right now. You know what he really is, though? He's a smart basketball player.
Yes, he is.
That dude knows where to be. He knows what his role is. He doesn't second-guess anything, and he knows how to play defense, get in a guy's way, and move the ball. And on offense, he had moments where he got it. And I thought, okay, with young players, they can just lose track of things. He was swinging it, and he was finding open players like Lillard in the corner. Sure. And it's nice. I know Nurkic is a conversation because we don't know what he's going to make. But Zach Collins is getting these clutch minutes. And to me, that is a pretty vital part for an organization that is trying to build. I know Zach Collins is not on the same career arc as Neil O'Shea would call it with Dame and CJ. But to give a young player minutes like this in big games that matter.
Yeah, consistently, not just once in a blue moon. This has been a stretch now.
It's a regular thing for him in a playoff, battle in the Western Conference. That's something that, hey, shooting for the moon a little bit, but maybe that ups the timeline a little bit for him going forward. I really like what I saw from him. We'll get to Evan Turner, but I thought he played really well, and he's been playing really well as of late. And it's just another example of us going, look, sure, shorthanded a little bit. That's still Golden State with KD, Clay, and Draymond. And they went out there, and they were able to overcome those three players.
Well, it wasn't like he won because KD had an off night either. He went for 40. He's scored over 90 points now in these last two games that Golden State's been in town. You beat him both times.
They're on two, yeah.
So he's going off, and you're still finding a way to beat him. I'm with you 100% on Collins. I think it's been a lot of fun to watch that fourth quarter rotation of him and Ed Davis getting those minutes. Those two guys down low are great defensively. Ed Davis's role is perfect for this team and what they need. 15 rebounds for him, a double-double. He was an absolute monster on Friday. And then not only is Collins moving the ball and being a smart basketball player, but when you're providing him open looks and opportunities, knocking down shots. He had double figures. And that, to me, was the other thing that stood out. I mean, Dame, CJ, great night, combined for 58. The four guys that played minutes off the bench, not garbage time minutes, but actually played, all four of them were in double figures. Napier went for 10. Collins went for 12. Turner had 12, and Ed Davis had 10. So you got contributions up and down, and it led to a 17-point win over Golden State. And picking this up on the other side with the Blazers, they continue to catch breaks. So everybody out there listening right now, please knock on wood, because they're catching some more breaks this week. We'll tell you what those are. And also, how do you feel about Evan Turner responding to a fan, heckling him about his $17 million a year salary by telling him to shut the bleep up? Next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past, and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world, and when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I'll be out at the Glorious House of Gaines today after the show. Get my Monday workout on, and then I'm going to speed on home and fire up the barbecue.
What are you grilling today, my man?
Got a couple of steaks ready to rock and roll. I grilled back-to-back days this weekend and felt fantastic. Saturday was nice enough. Did some steak Saturday. Did some salmon last night. Back to steak today. Let's go.
I'm going to go for a nice run in the neighborhood, and then I got to clean the old deck. And then I might do some grilling as well.
Okay, there you go. Nice little Monday. Maybe a little Bed Bath & Beyond.
If time permits.
If time permits. I went to Costco this weekend. It was a very adult thing for me to do. I got a Costco membership.
Oh, you just now?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the club, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Feels good to be in the club.
Costco's a dangerous place because I've gone in there saying I just need TP and cereal.
Right. Just a couple of things you want to buy in bulk.
$300 later, you're leaving.
Yeah. Right.
You're loaded up. We're good to go on food for a while.
Oh, but it's such a great deal.
I know, because they're so good.
You get like 30 of these, right, for only $20.
They get you to think about every stinking category.
They do, man. They do. And I will say this, on a bright Sunday or Saturday afternoon, not many places that are more chaotic than a Costco parking lot. That thing was jam-packed.
Well, dude, everybody wants to do what you're doing.
Everybody was doing the same thing.
Everybody's trying to get in and get out.
Yeah. Her lines up the wazoo, but it's good to be a Costco member.
I say this without a lot of butcher experience, but in my experience, Costco's got good meat.
They got great meat.
They've got really good meat.
I also, first time I ever bought seafood from Costco, good salmon. Just going to throw that out there. Good salmon. So there's your tip of the day right there.
Did you eat all the samples?
I actually didn't have any samples. I ate lunch before I went.
What?
I didn't even think about it. I didn't connect. I was full.
Clearly a Costco rookie.
Yeah, you know.
Seriously.
You live and you learn, all right?
I'm such a Costco veteran. Do you know what I did last week? I spent 25 minutes reading an article on Costco hot dogs and why they're so famous. It was like a real in-depth read on Costco hot dogs.
These are good. Oh, yeah. $1.50?
Yeah. They haven't changed the size of the dog. In fact, it's gotten bigger. And the price has always stayed the same because they value their customers so much.
They do. They put us first. They give you the tools.
Did we get that Costco endorsement already?
What's up, Costco? Who's out there from Costco listening? We love you. Hey, so the Blazers back in action tonight. They take on Miami. And I feel like every time I talk about this, I just kind of knock on wood. Because it's getting pretty ridiculous at this point, the breaks that they've caught. So you just go back the last couple of weeks, obviously, and you got Minnesota. Jimmy Butler got hurt. You play OKC, second of a back-to-back, so they don't play Carmelo Anthony. You get the Lakers. Granted, he's not at that level, but Brandon Ingram's pretty good. He's not playing. Porzingis done for the year. You blow out the Knicks. The Warriors come to town, and the night before, Steph Curry rolls his ankle, and he's going to miss a couple of games. Now you play Miami tonight, and basically, would you say their three best players are out? Dwayne Wade not going.
Goran Dragic is still
okay. That's cool. Dragic's still there.
And he was their all-star.
But then Whiteside's out, Dwayne Wade's out, and Deion Waiters not playing tonight. And it even goes further than that. Over the weekend, Kyrie Irving, I want to say he tweaked his knee. Was that what it was?
I know he's got sore knees.
Sore knees. Yeah. And they are in town coming up now. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but they said he's going to miss some time. And they're coming up, a week from Friday. So there's a chance Kyrie, depending on his knee situation, might miss that game. So the Blazers continue to catch breaks, and it continues tonight with Miami.
Yeah, you know, and I would love to talk to him. So maybe when I see him, I can ask him about this. But Swigart had put out a tweet on The Fan, something to the effect of the Blazers' luck continues to roll on in regards to injuries and players missing. And Casey Oldall, friend of the show, works for the Blazers, said something to the effect of, would love to go back and look at the numbers on seeing how this actually matches up. This isn't a narrative to me. Isn't it pretty evident they've
caught a lot of breaks?
Look, and
nobody's complaining.
No, hey, they've won games. They've taken advantage of the schedule. They've taken advantage of guys that are out.
Well, they lost some games early on.
Sure.
When teams, some lesser teams were without their main guys too. So,
you know, sure, you got fans out there that they don't care that the Blazers are maybe going to be a second-round team at best, and they want more, and I get that. You want a championship. But right now, for most of us enjoying it, who cares if we acknowledge that these teams are not playing their best players or missing big key members?
Like, yeah.
That doesn't matter to me. They're still winning. They're still taking care of business. And if you play Boston without Kyrie, you play Miami tonight without Hassan Whiteside down low, Deion Waiters at the perimeter, I don't care. Just win the ball game. Stay in the three seed and see what happens in the postseason. That doesn't matter to me. What I have been impressed with, though, is just this knack for not taking anything for granted and playing really good team basketball, because there's a lot of times this season they've gone away from that, and it shows when they go and lose four in a row, sure, three in a row, two in a row. Like, that just happens, and they haven't been letting that happen to them as of late.
Sure. P1 Ryan's been harping on the ball movement all year. And funny, you're starting to see it more. Guys are knocking down open shots, and they're relying on it. And that's a good thing to see. And I also feel like the rotation has been solidified, especially in the fourth quarter with Ed Davis and Zach Collins. It's a lineup that he really likes, gives him flexibility. Collins helps him space the floor a little bit, something you don't get a ton of. You know, if you got Aminu and Evan Turner out there, there aren't guys that really strike and fear into you from the three-point line, but Collins has shown an ability to knock him down at a decent clip, so it helps you space the floor. Now, we're up against it here, but I kind of want to set the scene with this, and then I want to get Blazer fans' opinions on it. So this happened over the weekend. Jason Quick wrote a piece about Evan Turner, who he's been a lightning rod for criticism now in his year and a half or a year and three quarters in Portland ever since he signed that four-year $70 million contract. And he goes into a story. He was talking to Evan Turner after a game, and he was recounting a story against Sacramento. So this took place, and this is in the article, quote, "Hey, Evan, I see you got your typical two, Turner says, recreating the scene. He shakes his head, thinking back at it all year. That's what you call a true fan. He goes on to say that he turned to face the dumb redneck who sits three rows back from the court and told him to shut the bleep up. Said, first off, let me say one thing. Everything I have done, I have earned. My contract, that's my bread. I earned my bread, so kiss my ass. Dead serious, write that. I earned that bleeping money. All I'm doing is what my coach asks. I'm trying to help the team, truly, genuinely help the team, because I've been on teams where I've been putting up 20 points and nobody gives a damn because we were losing. So he turns around, he calls a fan a dumb redneck, and he tells him to shut the bleep up. I'm just curious how fans feel about that. Is he in his right? The guy's harping at him for making too much money, $17 million a year, or do you not want to see a Blazer do that? Because we've seen guys do that in the past, and it's not a great look for the organization. Curious your thoughts on the Evan Turner situation. 55305. We'll talk about that on the other side. Read some of your texts. Also, coming up in the final hour of the show, we have not talked about daylight savings time yet. We'll do that. Tiger Woods back in action and almost got a win over the weekend. Should Patty Reed be wearing red on Sunday still, even though Tiger is back? We'll take a look at the ratings of the golf tournament. O.J. Simpson potentially admitting murder. Lots to get to in the final hour, but we'll start with Evan Turner. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.